All right, I would like to call this evening's county board meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Ms. Kulick, here. Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Present.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Here.
Mr. Kokol?
Here.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Mr. Shaw cannot be here this evening.
Mr. Worley?
Here.
You have a quorum.
That's excused.
He's always excused. Thank you. We have a quorum. Is there a motion to approve the previous month minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Davidson. Any additions or corrections? Name spelled correctly?
It's my one.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Motion by Kulick, seconded by Flowers. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Correspondence and communications. Is there anything?
I don't have anything.
Any special recognition? Seeing none. Citizens to be heard on items of business this evening. Let the record show there's no one. New business. Is there any new business?
You're doing great.
Old business? Is there any old business? Standing committee reports. Public safety, Chairman Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, the public safety committee has not met since the last Kendall County board meeting, so we have nothing new to report.
Thank you. Admin HR, Chairman Kulick.
I really need to start bringing my glasses to these meetings. Making a motion to recommend the resolution of authorizing application for Section 5310 grant agreement under the Regional Transportation Authority's general authority to make such grants. And I will let Mr. Wilkins, thank you, I will let Mr. Wilkins enlighten us on this.
Yeah,
not the first
Mr.
time.
Mr. Wilkins?
We,
I'll second the motion.
We, if you,
okay.
This is actually a federal, it's federal dollars that come through the RTA. You know, as far as we have applied to the RTA for $5310 dollars before. These are mainly dollars to help the disabled and the elderly. Again, we've, it used to be what's called New Freedom, and it's now transitioned into 5310. So we had, again, we had applied a few years ago and were awarded those dollars through the RTA. Prior to that, back in 2009, we were awarded vehicles through the New Freedom through the RTA. But this is just for again operating dollars again to serve the disabled and the elderly. What's you do have not only the resolution, but you have a couple memos in your packet too if you got a chance to read those. But what's nice about this is that it really leverages our dollars more while we have federal dollars. It not only lowers our cost basically by half, so instead of coming up with about 35% of the local match, we only have to come up about 17.5%. And instead of the state coming up with 65%, they're in that 32.5% range. So it's good for the state, it's good for us, and then the federal dollars pick up half of that operating cost. So it really does help the local taxpayer, and it allows us to, again, leverage more operating dollars. They are also very timely dollars, too, through the as far as versus the state dollars sometimes a little bit more slow.
Member Purcell.
Thank you. Mr. Wilkins, if we're in a position during our budget process where we say, boy, we just can't afford it, does this obligate us, or can we just say, we don't want to participate anymore?
Our obligation, you know, right now, lately, our obligation since we started this program in 2010 has been $45,000. And then we have a pass-through agreement with the Volunteer Action Center, and Mike Newkirkin is the program director. He is here also, and Andres Beltran is our PCOM, our program compliance officer. He's here too. But in general, if we were not to put in that local match, the $45,000, then we may not be able to get local match from the municipalities. As you know, Oswego has a local match component. Yorkville, Plano. So it's very important for the county to lead by example. Now, of that $45,000, half of that comes from general fund, and then half comes through the senior tax levy. But it is it is obviously taxpayer local taxpayer dollars.
So I got the floor.
So I just not quite, I appreciate the explanation, but I don't know that I heard the answer. If we're in a position in the future, and I'm not suggesting we will or will not be, I'm just trying to understand, if we're in a position in the future where we feel we just can't afford it, does this obligate us to fund it?
The obligation, well, I mean, we are obligated to provide a local match.
For 1 year? This is for 1 year?
For the program. This is for what's called federal fiscal year 2015, so until we...
Their fiscal year 15?
Yeah, exactly. And,
so has that expired already?
Until those dollars expire. Now, what we are looking at is these dollars, we would actually incur the expense and basically apply for the dollars or be reimbursed the dollars over a 2 year period.
Okay, thank you.
By 2 year period, do you mean our fiscal years?
For the most part, the state, of course, is on July 1. So yes, it would be basically the 2017 and the 2018, so over the next two years.
That's 2015,
though. But we're using federal dollars.
And we're matching 27 and 18.
You can do all this at the health department all the time.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, roll call, please.
Ms. Kulick?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Aye.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Thank you. Anything else for admin?
Nothing else, thank you.
All right, Highway Chairman Kokel.
We just have an announcement, and it's approved. It's the Fox Road Bridge posting, and Fran's got it. There's no approving of it. It's a couple federal mandates, so Fran's going to pass out the map, so if anybody doesn't know where Fox Road Bridge is.
Mr. Worley.
Which bridge are we talking about?
Mr. Worley.
Yeah.
Fran, a bridge in the federal highway is a bridge up starting at 20 feet long.
Thank you.
Is there any way we can shorten this to 19 and a half feet and just forget about this?
What was your question?
Is there a name for the record?
This Fran Kloss, Kent County Engineer. This bridge that's 20 feet long. If you've ever looked at this bridge, it's not a bridge.
It's actually only 18 and a half feet is its clear span. However, it's on a skew. And because of the skew measured along the center line, it's just over 20 feet. So we don't get to make the rules. That's an ASHTO and Federal Highway Administration rule. If it's over 20 feet long, it immediately goes into the National Bridge Inspection System. It is officially a bridge, and you cannot get out of it.
What's the skew on the highway,
Mr. Purcell?
It's not at a 90-degree angle. It's at something other than a 90-degree angle.
Mr. Davidson.
Thank you.
Is there another question? Anyone else?
So what are we doing?
Dan, did you make a motion?
No motion. It's just an announcement.
Chairman Shaw had put this on the agenda just as an advisory thing because it's a fairly significant thing. There is not a single bridge on our entire county highway system that is currently posted to anything less than legal load, which is 80,000 pounds. This will take it from 80,000 pounds to 40,000 pounds. That's a big deal. I mean, a garbage truck legally won't be able to cross this bridge.
So
a highway department truck loaded would not be able to cross this bridge.
And Fran, in your email, you did describe all the different trucks that would not be able to go down Fox Road. So what is the solution then?
Replace it very quickly.
Okay.
I don't know any other way to put that. We were kind of railroaded into this because the state Illinois Department of Transportation has been requesting sets of plans from old bridges. This is a metric 13 from the Federal Highway Administration is to do a take a closer look at some of these older bridges and reevaluate them for structural integrity to make sure none of them collapse. Is it overdone? I think so. In this case, certainly. But we really don't have a choice in the matter. We are, we had a mandate from the department that this bridge has to be posted.
When was this bridge originally built?
1958. It was widened in 1981. So it is 58 years old. It's near the end of its useful life. But it's in pretty good shape, and I don't think it would fall down, but that I don't get to make that decision.
Mr. Worley, Member Chaska, and Copeland.
Is this in our, I can't even remember this being our five-year transportation plan, is it? Wasn't.
No.
Was
so not.
Okay.
So we have a consultant right now looking into alternatives. Sliding a box culvert through the existing bridge might be our best alternative so we don't have to close the road. Other options are completely close the road and quickly throw a new box culvert in there. But we're looking at some options, and we'll bring that back to Highway in July.
Mr. Prochaska?
Do you have a rough idea of how much it would cost?
It's almost impossible to replace a bridge for under $200,000 these days, so I would say in that neighborhood.
All right, and is there any, that you want to talk about earlier, is there any way when we're replacing the bridge, if we choose to go that route, to re-engineer it, we don't have anything happening in the future?
Yeah, in fact, the consultant we're looking at now, we believe we can put a box culvert in there that is, even on the skew, is less than 20 feet. So it would not go back into our inventory of bridges at all, at least for the time being. However, the next step in the federal guidelines is they're going to start looking at things that are less than 20 feet. But that's a few years off, but it's coming.
Mr. Kokel, did you have anything? I thought I saw your hand up. Mr. Purcell?
So two things. One is, what if we don't post it? And two is, if we don't post it, who would have the authority to write tickets, or do we not necessarily have to write tickets? I mean, that's really the issue, isn't it?
Yes. Well, yeah, those are certainly good questions. I don't think we have an option. If something were to happen to that bridge and we had a directive from the department to post it, we didn't post it, and it collapsed, that would be willful and wanton, and we would be going to jail probably. I'll let the state's attorney speak.
I think Leslie's jumping out of her seat over here.
Yeah. So I don't think we have an option. Now, whether it's enforced or not, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that no one over 20 tons is going to cross that bridge after it's posted. I don't know how.
Who enforces it?
How? Sheriff's Department. Garfield Police.
Is that in the city limits or all unincorporated?
Unincorporated.
Any other comments? Mr. Willian?
Unincorporated?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'll be quiet.
Are we sure?
Well, that's our announcement. That's all we have at Highway.
Thank you. Economic Development, I'll stay with you.
Well, actually, Hoover is in the city limits, isn't it?
Yeah.
So on the north side, it's incorporated. On the south side, it's not.
So doesn't the bridge then go all the way through?
Well, for a township road, it does. I don't know about a county highway.
Okay, Fran, go home.
Okay. Economic Development.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I have two items. First one, I'll make a motion, and we're going to have a little discussion. And the second one, I'll have Andres come up. But my first motion is approve revolving fund loan application process, including $500 deposit fee for application.
Second.
And my discussion on it, what that is number one, it's a fee, so we wanted to bring it to the county board because the county board does take care of all fees for all departments, number one. But I wanted to explain this $500 fee a little bit. When we do these loans, just like financial institutions, they run into things that cost money, whether it's appraisals or we have to have some collateral appraised or whatever the case may be. There's some initial funds that we have to put out, and we don't want to have to put out the county's money, of course. And the nice thing about that, though, is if the loan did come to the board and it didn't pass, we would reimburse them the money that we didn't spend on that $500. So if we only used, $300 of the $500, we would give them back the $200. That's the idea. We're not trying to gouge anybody. We're just trying to cover our cost. And also it keeps everybody on the serious level on that. So if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Try to.
Mr. Purcell.
The part where you would refund any unused portion if the loan did not get approved, is that going to be part of the new application process so the client or the customer is aware of that?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. They'll all be in the yes.
Okay.
Your answer is yes.
Any other questions? Roll call, please.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Thank you. And the next item, Andres, oh, you're over here. Okay. Saw you in the back there. I had to look for you. Approve appointment of Andres Beltran to the Oswego TIF Joint Review Board.
Second that.
And then on discussion, just to start it off, We did talk about this pretty heavily in our EDC, and I guess it came there is because Mr. Wilkins has been involved with different TIFs since I've been here, and we've gone to several meetings together on those TIFs, and we need to have somebody at the table, as we talked about in Forest Preserve a little bit, and the direction is up to you people that we want Andres to go. But we definitely wanted him to go there with the idea to come back and report to us. So I'll give it, just kind of open the discussion.
And if I could, Andres, you mentioned, you said Mr. Wilkins one time during that. You meant Andres.
He went over, were you at the EDC meeting?
Yeah.
He went over the numbers, but just remember that the numbers are rough because we don't know which way they're going to go, but they're
Could you take us through your calculation, Jeff?
You know, I did have, there's in your packet, there's a calculation. There's also a map of the area. And then there's some pages from the plan that was provided to us. So just some specific. And then also the meeting itself is on July 8th at 10 a.m. The upshot is that there's going to, based on the area, the EAV of that area right now is about $7,571,000. So just on a natural growth of an area, you know, assessed values go up over time. In fact, the last year of their study, the EAV growth just of that area from 2014 to 2015 went up 5.6%. So the area itself is just going to naturally grow. So that'll though be captured by the village. So what I put in there is that just even a modest 2% growth, and I know that was consistent with what David had calculated, and then a 0.007 tax rate, which would actually be a slight reduction of the tax rate. Over a 23-year period, the county would most likely lose about $371,000, so about that. Again, these are assumptions. These are assuming a 2% growth and a flat tax rate of 0.007. So the only point I'm making is that there's just natural growth within a TIF area that would be captured by the TIF, and that, of course, is captured by the village. That was really the whole point of the calculation. Obviously, if there's multiple, millions of dollars of investment in that area, then the village or the TIF would capture any of increment above the base value. In their plan, they thought that there would be an investment of about $25 to $35 million, right in that range, or $30 to $35 million. So for a 23-year period, that would be captured by the village, and the other taxing units would participate in that tax base growth. So that's kind of how it works. You had a discussion at the previous meeting. It really is the decision of the village board. We had some discussion at the economic development that the one part of this process is that it's not really a collaborative process. It's kind of a one-sided process, and there is in their plan some plans to possibly give the school some money or the library district some money from the increment, but the other taxing units aren't necessarily going to receive that. So we had some discussion about other tools. Again, a TIF is for 23 years. The reasons they will say that you need that is if they were to issue bonds, you got to pay bonds usually over 20-year period, and the investment may not happen for 10 years. So then they need flexibility to issue bonds. So that's what one aspect is going to happen, or one argument for. But there is a property tax abatement tool also that each taxing unit could work toward. It would be collaborative. Each of the taxing units would have to agree to it. But that tool allows a $4 million incentive over a 10-year period. So there's a possibility each project, if all the taxing units agreed, could be, again, $4 million for 10 years. But again, each taxing unit would have to agree. But that would be an example of a tool that would be, at least each taxing unit would have to approve it, and it could be collaborative. And there was some discussion at the committee, at least to suggest other tools other than a TIF to provide incentives.
Can I ask you a couple of questions on what you just said?
Sure.
the two things stuck out. One, you said the area is going to naturally grow. Did you mean that it'll grow, that this is going to go up and increase in value without having the TIF?
Yes, I mean, so again, from year 2014 to 2015, that drawn area that you have the map of went up 5.6%.
And your experience, would you call that blighted?
Well, the statute has different areas, there are different criteria that it has to meet, and it has to show a reduction, I believe, for 3 years in a row. And the years before 2014, it did go down consistently for 3 years, but then in from 2014 to 2015, it actually went up.
Were you talking down valuation?
Correct.
Didn't most of the county go down? Mm-hmm. Well, county's blighted.
Did you have Mr. Purcell?
You know, my feelings are the same as before. It's, you know, I struggle with a municipality being able to take property taxes from other taxing bodies. There's the county, there's the forest preserve, there's a fire district, school district, although maybe they have agreements, maybe they don't have agreements with them, I don't know. There's the library district, if they have one over there. There's a community, you know, school district or the community college district. There's so many districts they're taking money from to do improvements in their village limits where they have sales tax, they have other means of doing it. And of course there's, you know, barring the whole economy in the state, and I guess with the state government, who knows, barring the whole economy in the state goes to heck for the next 23 years, yeah, they've got some places that are vacant. You got vacant land, you put a building on it, the values are going to go up. You got homes that are 60 years old that they're converting to commercial over the next 5 or 10 years, the value is going to go up. It's natural the value is going to go up. This is not fair to the taxing bodies. It's just not.
Mr. Davidson.
Well, you know, the way our tax system works, if we need $2 million to run the county, we levy that tax. And that is what the taxpayer pays on. Now, if we lose $350,000, that 2%, the taxpayer has to pick up the other 2%. This isn't giving anything away. We're taxing the taxpayer another 2%. I don't care how you cut it. Because if the school district needs $5 million, $20 million, $200 million, you got to give it. We're levying for that. Are we gonna turn around and say, okay, if we're gonna take 2% out of our budget and for that area and give it to the Oswego, who's picking up the difference? Who is paying the bill? It sounds good, it looks good, but it sure don't smell good to me.
Absolutely going to support Andres to represent us over there, but we have not given them a clear direction on how we feel, and this agenda reads the same as it did in the Forest Preserve. So I think that if we are going to send him, that the group has a duty individually to discuss this and with Andres and let him know your feelings ahead of the Friday meeting. And if no action is taken on Friday, certainly would suggest that the next time we meet as a group, that we have something on the agenda to have a formal, because I know we will have a question.
Ms. Gilmore.
Jeff, maybe you know the answer to this. Has this joint review board got any other dates that they're going to be meeting, or is this the only one on Friday?
Usually there's just one.
So I think we need to have a consensus of, you know, how we feel and how the Forest Preserve District feels so that they have some direction on what to say.
Mr. Pachaska.
I was just going to say, can we go around and
just
get some consensus?
Mr. Coppola. Just to remind everybody, this is to approve Andres is what we're talking about now.
Mm-hmm. So if they vote, this is
this.
Vote?
This is, well, do you want somebody at the table or not?
But the question is, if they vote Friday, if he is or if David is, and the force there,
how are they going to vote? They're going to get emails and they're going to make the decision based on the emails? Well, I feel a little more strongly about this
The village board members get the final vote.
But on this, we get a vote.
Mr. Prochaska.
Refresh my memory, Jeff, but if the joint review board does not have a positive recommendation, is that a two-thirds vote of the village board?
That's my understanding, yeah, supermajority of that.
So two-thirds vote of the village board would be, since the village of Oswego is six, it's the exact same amount, so they'll need four votes either way.
Full board.
If they have a full board there.
I don't disagree with your idea of taking a consensus, but that also is non-binding as well. And is there anything that we can do as far as amending the motion at this point?
I mean, your motion is to, like Mr. Kokel said, is to appoint the individual to the board. The only thing I think of is if you could do a motion to appoint for the purpose of stating the position, you could amend your motion to include that. But it's a stretch. That's the best I can come up with.
Well, I'm not shooting you an email, Andres. You know how I feel.
Any other comments? All right, is there a roll call then?
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
No.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
No.
Seven to two. And be sure to call or email Andres before Friday. Finance Committee Chairman Purcell.
Well, we had actually that same discussion. That was one that I didn't discuss. We did discuss the approval of bills, and I would move that we approve the bills in the amount of $780,037.79 and grand jury claims in the amount of $650.
Second.
Any comments, questions? Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Thank you. That was a relatively easy portion of our meeting. The second portion is we came up with some budget parameters and guidelines. We had a lengthy discussion on this, and ultimately the group is recommending that departments and elected offices maintain a 0% increase on the budget. We gave no specific recommendations on salaries. We just are recommending that the departments and elected offices maintain no increase in the budget, and I would move that we make that the FY 2017 budget parameters and guidelines.
Okay. Motion by Purcell, seconded by Flowers.
Yes.
Discussion, Mr. Davidson.
You know, I agree with, and I guess I was part of the scenario, but, you know, in defense of our department heads and everyone, this board, I believe, has dropped the ball because our major increase was insurance. And we have not gone out, I don't care what it is, to go out and see what's out there and bid it. I don't, so what if we got a union contract? We at least know what we're talking about. We gotta go out there. If you got a 22 or 18% increase in your insurance at home, what would be the first thing you'd do? You pick up the phone and you'd be calling around and seeing what's out there. Some type of, it don't have to be exact, but at least get us close to what we got or whatever, and we know the numbers. Solid numbers.
Yeah, Ms. Mr. Davidson, thank you. Jumping out of my
seat. Just read it.
We have been looking at that for quite some time, and we did go out to bid. We had several presentations, and we are in the process of going through that again.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, let them put a bid out there. Never mind trying to be the, you know.
We have.
Open it up.
We have.
We gotta get there.
We have and we are, and we will continue on that path. Because we don't want to see that increase again, even though it did come down a little bit. We were able to negotiate it down a little bit. But we have some other issues that are tying our hands just a little so that we're not getting the competitive bids that we had hoped to get.
Mr. Worley.
I'm looking at this and it says approve our FY17 budget parameters and guidelines. I don't see any budget or guidelines. I don't see you in any type of paperwork at all or minutes of the meeting. So I really struggle with what we're trying to do. Was it a one sentence thing that says we're going to keep this thing at zero?
Yeah. And I think the reason.
Based on what?
The reason there's no minutes, the meeting was Thursday at 5:30, and Valerie, who does the minutes, was off Friday, and yesterday, she was out, because I questioned the same thing. Based on, we have real concerns on the revenues. The revenues are just inching up, but this year we had another $1.4 million deficit. The committee just felt that we can't recommend an increase when we already had a $1.4 million deficit. And according to our audit, we had a deficit last year at the end of the year. So there was just a real struggle to recommend any type of increase.
Then I guess to follow up.
Sure.
Can we get some of these things on paper? Because I'm listening to this. You said we started at 1.4 the year before, and you said we had we ended up at a deficit, but it wasn't anywhere near 1.4.
No, I don't remember the exact number. You're right.
It was way.
It was, absolutely. I'm not going to argue with it. But on paper, the audit shows it on paper. I didn't bring the audit.
Can we get our six-month numbers? Do we have six-month numbers right now?
Yeah.
They're in your packet.
Mm-hmm. It's not in my packet, Bob. That's what I'm saying. I'm being asked to vote on something, and I have absolutely no backup on it at all. I understand and I applaud the group's desire to.
Jeff, I don't have any problem with questions.
I just don't. Yeah.
So just to give you an idea, and these are rough numbers without diving and delving into it and analyzing line by line, but just to give you an idea, this is through June. You know what? Let me find the most current one. This is June 14th, which is a couple weeks old. Do you have the most recent one? June 14th. Okay, that's fine. As of June 14th, our year-to-date revenues on general fund, this is for general fund, were $8.7 million. I'm rounding to the nearest $100,000. Last year, through the same time frame, we're at $8.9 million. So actually, through 5.5 months, or 6.5 months, I should say, we are down slightly. The end of the month, because the treasurer did because the state made a big payment, we were actually up slightly, but it was within about 2%. And we're just looking at the trend of the revenue. The revenue is up just ever so slightly. And there was discussion of the previous year's two deficits. I absolutely agree with you. The previous, a year and a half ago, we came in better. Last year, we did not come in better at the end of the year, better than zero.
John, wasn't there something that we just got a big lump sum in as well at the last meeting? That Latrice or somebody mentioned, did that ring a bell?
Well, I think it was the state revenues. We received. Thank you, Matt.
So we were down 2%, but it was still. It may have been more than that because of the.
Well, no, that was before we received the lump sum. Okay. The state revenues for state income tax. This is as of June 28th, so almost 7 months of the fiscal year. We have budgeted $2.65 million for state income tax. In June alone, we received $585,000. So that was the bump that put us up slightly. But that gets back to the state. What do you want to count on with the state? And to the point here, we're up about 2% through June 28th. Year-to-date amount, $13.4 million. Last year, year-to-date amount, $13.25 million. And it comes to almost exactly 2% increase. But when you have a $28 million deficit or general fund and you have a $1.4 million deficit, that's 5%. So that's kind of the thinking. I mean, I understand, I don't take offense to it at all. The thinking is we already had a 5% deficit on paper. We did not make it up fully last year.
How much of it did we make up?
We made up, Jeff, probably $1 million. Not the full amount. I don't know what the final number was. It was $200,000 or $300,000, somewhere in there. Maybe $400,000. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, but we just feel that, you know, we can't recommend an increase at this point. And you know, get the budget where we feel it's necessary. Jeff, as you know, we had some real wrangling and arm wrestling, and we had some people that didn't agree with some of the things we did to try to get the deficit down to $1.4 million this year. You know, if we hadn't made some of those decisions, we'd have been closer to $1.8 million. And the committee just feels that's going in the wrong direction. So, I mean, if other committee members, you know, have different opinion, or, you know, feel free. I mean, that wasn't a one-person committee meeting. It was all five of us were there. But it was, you know, I think that was the general tenor of the discussion. We had at times toyed with recommending salary parameters, and we said, you know what? No, we're not going to do that at this point. Let's see where everything comes in, and, you know, if we have to make adjustments to the budget, we'll do that.
Mr. Davidson?
No, we just don't want to get it out to where we can't get control of it. I mean, other counties are struggling just like we are. Nobody knows where this revenue's, where it's at. Between the federal government not putting a budget together and getting our funds from them and the state not having a budget. I mean, we're just, what do you want us to do? Go out there and let's go down to the bank and borrow the money. Let the taxpayer pay later.
Mr. Prochaska.
I was one of the people that did vote for the flat budget, but I did have some concerns that I did voice during the meetings. For me, the big push of the flat budget is what I've seen in other counties has scared me to death, and I want to avoid having that happen here. I want to avoid what some of our other counties across the state could do, such as a reduction in force. I was one of those people, however, that I said I wanted to. My initial proposal was I wanted a flat budget on the administration side, and then with the instructions for wages commensurate to a corresponding union contract, just so we kept everybody on the same page and on the same level. That idea did not float at committee, but to keep everything flat, I did back the committee's recommendation. But my main concern was, and still is, I want to try to keep our non-union employees at as close to parity with our union employees as possible. If that helps you understand some of the thinking.
Yeah.
Really.
So we're gonna, if we stick with the union average, I'm gonna guess it's 2.5-3% plus. I'm gonna guess if we're very conservative, we're gonna go another 10% on our insurance costs, so we're at 12% there, over above what we had this year, and we're still going to try to get a zero. That zero is going to come at the expense of something, somewhere. And if you guys think that you can give us numbers as we go along through this budget process and make this a community decision instead of what I'm saying is you've got a lot of work cut up for, and
Jeff, I don't take offense.
Yeah, so, but I mean, you've got a large job in front of you because of the two numbers I just mentioned. If you're saying you want to keep this at zero, you guys are going to have to start cutting something. And
we know that.
Let's keep an open discussion with the rest of the group so we can all help with this decision.
Mr. Prochaska?
I was just going to add that if the other five members that are not on the finance committee would like more discussion and more background information on what caused it, I would have no problem discussing this again at Cal and just voting on it at the next board meeting, just to give you guys the courtesy to get all the information that we've had.
Mr. Purcell.
Matt, I appreciate that, but if we're going to do that, we might as well have to make a recommendation, because we're going to ask people to have budgets by the end of July. They need time to have our recommendations. Whether they follow them or not, in the past, some have followed them, some haven't. We as a budget and board have to make decisions. But if we're going to wait two more weeks to make a decision, we may as well just not make a decision at all and just say, have at it, and
then we'll have to decide what we have to decide.
Mr. Kokel.
I don't often agree with Mr. Purcell, but I do agree with that. And that's only fair to our directors and people that are involved with the budget process that, you know, we come to the table tonight and either you're for it or against it. So these directors know where to put their budgets and they can foresee the future of those tax dollars or where they're going. Because I don't think we're going to make up the revenues by the end of the year. So I'm not at all with putting this off. We got a hard vote and it's tonight.
Mr. Worley.
I don't have a problem voting for parameters and guidelines right now. Based on the little bit of information I did get from this, I'm comfortable with it. I just need to make sure that everybody understands that we have a very large hurdle to get over. And I would really like it to be the 10 of us instead of 5 of us. There are going to be some very difficult decisions being made. So I'd like, as a guideline, I'm comfortable with it now that I have some more information. But we have some work to do.
To me, that's something that we've done in the past is have the finance committee of the holes, and I think that's probably a good idea when we get to that point as well. We're happy to have additional minds talk about this.
Yes.
All right.
Well, yeah.
You read between the lines.
Yeah.
Any additional comments? Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Yes.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Well, that might be the last unanimous vote we get on the budget. But thank you.
Write that down.
It will be a process, and that was pretty much the bulk of our meeting. HD and I discussed something. I don't remember what it was. Wasn't anything we voted on, was it?
No.
Okay. So I guess there was no other action then.
Bother? Judicial Legislative.
Mr. Chairman, the Judicial Legislative Committee did not meet this month. We will meet again in July.
Thank you. Animal Control.
Animal Control did meet on the 22nd, and we went through all the numbers. They're looking fairly well. We were going to go up this week to take a look at a trailer. We're going to postpone it until next week, though, and we should have an answer before our Animal Control meeting. Should be. We're going to bring Anna with us, Marcel.
Laura.
I say Anna.
You said Anna, but it's Laura.
It's Laura. I
apologize. Yeah.
And,
we all knew.
Jim and Jeff and myself.
Mr. Brazell.
So, just a point we may want to consider. The director there has put in a lot of extra hours. That will be an FSLA position that we will require a bump in pay. We may at the next committee want to consider adjusting that person's salary similarly to what we did for Forrester. So just a thought.
One. Charge your rent for the trailer.
Not a bad idea.
That's funny.
Okay. Thank you. That's right. It's the same rules.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Health and Environment, Chairman Gilmore.
Thank you. Health and Environment met on Monday, June 20th, and Diane Alfred was there, gave us an overview of the Community Action Program. The item on the agenda, the NACO prescription program waiver, is not ready, as I understand, and so we will not be voting on that tonight.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there a motion to approve the Standing Committee minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by everyone. Second by Liz.
Yes.
Aye.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you. Special committee reports. KenCom Executive Board.
Mr. Chairman, the Executive Board did not meet this month, but our next meeting is in August.
Housing Authority.
Mr. Chairman, the Housing Authority did not meet this month. However, we will have a meeting in August. This was our normal meeting month, but we voted to go to quarterly meetings.
Mr. Willie, Historic Preservation.
Historic Preservation did not meet. We meeting back. Actually, that ended up a little congratulatory, and thank you for one of our former members over at the White Schoolhouse. So she's a failing health that we've got together and thank her for her service.
UCCI.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to invite all the members of the county board out for our annual, the United County Council's annual education seminar, July 25th and 26th. Some of the items on discussion will be budgeting in tough times, a legislative review, a review of the current Illinois budget and what changes and what potential changes could happen after the election in terms of budget member, budget matters, and FLSA and Affordable Care Act update on what changes are coming down the pipe.
Thank you. Chairman's report, I was gonna mention this later, but I guess I'll mention now. I did the tour through the Farm Bureau along with Dwight Baird, Diane Summer, who am I forgetting? Oh, Dr. Amal, and I think there was one other, oh, Keith Wheeler, Representative Keith Wheeler as well. We all joined with the Farm Bureau and we visited the Wheeler Bee Farm, the Gemmer Pig Farm, which is down in just south of the border in Grundy, because there's no one in, left in Kendall that takes pigs from beginning to end, which was interesting. And then we finished up at the Stewart Farm out on 126 and viewed their operations there. It's a very, very interesting trip that we took, and learned a lot about this. It's almost 10% of the economy here in Kendall County is the ag economy and the ag industry. And they're talking about doing it again next year on a Friday possibly, so I highly recommend everyone doing it. It was really educational and we learned a ton. And it was a good day. We had some pork burgers for lunch as well, so you can't beat that. And we also had a, what do they call them, an agronomist that came in from the U of I as well and talked to us about that a little bit too. So it was very interesting all the way around, so highly recommend it. And then I'll need a motion for the appointment of Michelle R. Evans to the 708 Mental Health Board for a 4-year term, expiring July 2020.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Prochaska. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. There is a need for executive session. I see everyone jumping for joy on that. Can I just finish up the other stuff? All right, I'd like to finish up with the other items before. Is there any other business? Citizens to be heard. Is there anyone? Do the record show there's no one? Questions from the press? Okay. All right, thank you. With that, is there a motion to move, or a motion to go into executive session?
So moved.
For the purpose of?
Number one, the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body. Number two, collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees. And number 11, litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of the particular public body has been filed.
Thank you. Motion by Davidson, seconded by Flowers. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I have to do a roll call.
Mr. Kokel?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Mr. Worley?
Yes.
Ms. Kulik?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes. We are back in open session.
Move to adjourn.
Second. By Flowers, seconded by Prochaska. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? What's tomorrow?
We are adjourned.
Have fun, kid.
Enjoy your vacation. Oh, so